Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite show, the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. It is the final show of 2019. We had a fantastic year. We had some fun times. Danny, what was your favorite thing this year so far, off the top of your head?
I think it was the part where you said, when you told everyone that this was our last show for the year. I think that might so far might be my favorite part.
Everybody, they're like, peace on earth for a few weeks. Oh God, yes.
I came across this thing on Reddit, and it was like a family and like the daughter and son were like arguing, and it's like, this is why you don't discuss politics, and the daughter's just like chugging the wine straight from the bottle and going off on the son in between chugs, and he's like, after he's had enough, he just slams his hands on the table. He's like, all right, everybody, what are we thankful for? Like all pissed off. It's like that.
Oh man, we had a lot of fun guests. I think that was my favorite thing. I think it made me have to do less things, which was always a bit nice.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think you like the guest as much as like not having to like really do anything.
I'm not scrambling to watch YouTube videos.
Yeah, you're like, holy shit, I have to watch this like 3-minute YouTube video. It's going to take forever.
Oh, good times.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's the big turkey week, Danny. You got any big plans this week?
Yeah, this year I'm finally going to like give in to my wife's like
unreasonable demands.
I don't know if it's unreasonable, but like, because I usually don't do Thanksgiving with her family. Because I have to go to work early the next day. Gotcha. And I feel like I would be a dick if I'm like, come on, we got to go. I know it's your family, but fuck it. We got to go. I got to wake up early. So, I mean, there's times where like, I'm still awake and she gets home. And there's times where I've been long asleep and she gets home. So I told her, I'm like, look, and you know, every year she's like, well, I just wish you could go. And I'm like, fine. You know what? If you're okay leaving at like there by like 5 PM, I'll go. And so she's like, I'll let everyone know. So I'm like, fuck, that backfired.
You anteed up, and you now that the stakes have been raised, are you calling?
Yes.
Are you folding?
Well, at that point, I went all in. And she called.
Oh.
And I had pocket aces, and she had the inside straight, so.
Fair enough.
So I guess I'm doing two Thanksgivings this year.
Fantastic.
It's almost like my parents got divorced. But
you don't get twice the amount of gifts.
No, I don't. And just slightly more sex. For me. Well, I guess less awkward sex, I guess it would be.
Something like that.
How about you there, Sean? I know you're like doing the Bon Jovi thing out there, living on a prayer.
So the best thing, Danny, is in my new position, I don't have to work on Thanksgiving anymore. And this is the last year that this branch of the company will have the day after, we'll have Black Friday off. So I have a 4-day weekend.
Sweet. Yeah, Thursday's my last day off work until Christmas.
Yeah, I don't have to deal with any kind of crazy Black Friday shit. Like, I'm just like, business as usual, man. And
you're living the dream, huh?
Yeah, after the last 4 years of chaos during this time, I'm kind of okay with it.
I mean, I'm not mad at all, dude. I can appreciate that.
So we're going to be staying at home. I think we're going to make some turkey. We're going to make Thanksgiving sandwiches. So I was able to acquire like a turkey breast, half a turkey breast. So I'll throw that in the oven. We'll make some stuffing and gravy, mashed potatoes. We got cranberries. It'll be a good time. We'll still have a meal.
No too furky for you?
Not for me. Maybe for the girlfriend. She'll be eating that sliced tofuki.
Tofurky?
Furky, whatever it is.
Yeah. You know what, like, I discovered? I don't know why I haven't bought them, like, because they're usually on sale around this time, but, you know, for when my company was more generous, they used to give, like, free turkeys.
Yeah.
And then they stopped doing that, and they started giving out, like, gift certificates to Stater Brothers. Gotcha. Four turkeys.
Yeah.
And Ginny O's actually makes like a frozen, like half turkey breast.
Okay.
That you can just basically take out of the freezer and throw in the oven.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And it's actually pretty good, you know. And it's perfect, like, for two people. Because it was enough for us to have our meal and then a couple sandwiches the next day. So it's not like we have, like, a 20-pound turkey left over, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the biggest thing, trying to do, like, a whole turkey. It would be, like, I would have to eat it. Like, we're actually even making, like, mini pies to kind of help make sure that we don't have, like, a ginormic amount of food to try to devour over the weekend.
Right. Because, yeah, because they're, like, this time of year, they usually go on sale, like, buy one, get one free.
Mm-hmm. True that.
So, we'd, like, keep them in the freezer, and it's like, ooh, turkey sandwiches sound good. Let's throw that shit in the oven.
Right.
Oh, man.
So.
So, I'm on my second beer, Sean.
I'm double fisting to catch up with you.
Like, because of miscommunication, I thought we were recording at a different time, but apparently we're not recording at that time, recording at this time.
I didn't know we had a time set.
Well, usually we have like a standard time unless we deviate.
Oh, we fucking deviated this week.
If we did, and usually, well, like, it's usually like 1 o'clock my time on Sundays or 4 o'clock my time during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Is standard, and this one of us says, hey, I need to record earlier or later. And this is a Tuesday, not a Sunday or Monday like we normally do. So we're already off, but then the whole thing is like, well, I figure it's a weekday. I mean, he knows we record at 4, right? I guess not.
I had some adventures building a dog ramp this weekend, and I got distracted putting a outdoor carpet on it. I looked at my phone, and I'm like, well, that was something I was supposed to fucking do today, wasn't I? I was like, well, time to grab beers and skip dinner.
Well, I guess the advantage there is I was going to eat after we recorded, but because we had an hour delay, I was able to eat before.
Nice.
So that might help, because I opened a Crooked Stave barrel-aged peach sour. Well, I guess it wasn't barrel-aged. It was just oak-aged.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a wild ale that was oak-aged with Colorado peaches.
Gotcha.
Which apparently Colorado peaches are a thing, because I was listening to another podcast where they talked to a brewer in a adjacent state, and they made like wild ales, and they would actually like on farmer market day drive to Colorado to a certain farmer's market and buy all the peaches from one of the dudes there, because he had the best peaches.
Wow. That's pretty intense. I didn't think they had peaches that far up.
I didn't either.
Maybe they must be pretty hardy.
I'm what's it called? The President of the United States of America must be pretty happy about that. The band. not the, you know, in the White House. Millions of peaches. Peaches for me. So, I was thinking about grabbing a barley wine, so I ended up grabbing that as choice B.
Yes.
And I didn't notice it until, like, I had poured it, and I was kind of, like, reading the description and stuff, that basically it's a similar beer to the one I had last week, but different.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's called Old Fashioned. It's a bourbon barrel-aged barley wine ale, style ale. So it's a barley wine ale, style ale, literally written on the label.
Nice.
And then there's, like, it's weird, like, barley wine, like, sometimes you get it, like, as one word, sometimes two words. This was the first time I've seen it hyphenated.
Mm-hmm.
But it has orange zest.
Okay.
And it's, like, a little bottle, it's, like, 11-ounce bottle, 11% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, reading the back, and it's, like, we're big fans of the classic Old Fashioned, a 19th-century cocktail traditionally made by muddling sugar with bitters and adding whiskey and a twist of citrus rind. This is our take with the barley wine. As the base beer and the classic orange zest to serve. It's been barrel aged for 12 months, picking up a well-rounded bourbon profile with notes of vanilla and caramel. Keep refrigerated, serve cold. It says, and they don't filter their beer, so please pour carefully if you don't want any sediment. I mean, it smells good. You can smell like the booze and the orange.
Okay.
Oh, man, that's actually pretty smooth and orangey. But, like, not in a sweet way.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like candy or desserty, but it's pretty good. That could get me in trouble.
Chug it. Chug it. Chug it.
Not if
chug
I want to finish.
It.
I'm already like questioning if I'm gonna be able to finish the show. That's definitely gonna answer the question, and the question is gonna be no.
Don't finish the show. Don't finish the show. After
so I went
minutes,
to a,
it's time to close up shop. Sorry guys, yes, Danny's gone.
You hear me snoring? All right, everybody, that wraps up this year's episodes for We Are Adults Show. But I went up to Orange County and I ended up going by a brewery that I've been wanting to visit called Salty Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty nice, dude. They got like a little area like behind it where they have like shops and restaurants and stuff, and you can actually have some of the restaurants delivered to the brewery.
Okay.
But they have, when I was sitting there, like almost, I'm gonna say like maybe three quarters of the people there were ordering their hazy IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking and they had a seltzer on the menu. So I just got a bunch of tasters. And so I got one of the tasters of the seltzer.
Yeah.
And that shit was good, man. Like, it wasn't like that La Croix, like a hint of a strawberry.
And not a sneeze of orange.
Yeah, or like, well, actually, it was like the different flavors. Like, just imagine a strawberry, but with a low battery. Or like, it was delivered on a truck next to a pallet of bananas. And it was like a hint of lime. That was what it was. But yeah, like, this was like raspberry, super flavorful, really good, and like, not like sweet or anything, overly sweet. And I was kind of talking to the guy behind there, and just the hate, we were talking about the hate for the hazies and the seltzers, and it's like, dude, like, if people are ordering hazy IPAs, like, you'd almost be an idiot not to make them, right? Like,
yeah.
And then as far as the seltzers, he said, it's like, they're super easy and they sell, like, and I was like, right? And I was like, sometimes you gotta, you know, there's the people that think that if you're making beer to make money, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, but it's like, if you want to have a brewery, you also have to be able to pay the bills.
That part's true.
Because they're like literally within walking distance of Barley Forge, which was supposed to close on the end of October. Like Halloween was supposed to be the last day, but I guess they had some kind of a reprieve. So now they're open till December 4th, at least, with a possible sale pending.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, of course they're going to make what sells. They're literally within like eyesight of a brewery that's closing.
Yeah.
You know? I don't understand that, like, that hate of that immediate hate of people. It's like, well, hazy IPAs aren't real beers, or, you know, people that make seltzers are ruining the beer industry. And it's like, no, people that order seltzers aren't the ones that are going to order an IPA anyways. They're probably going to order a Coors Light. True. Or they want like liquor, like kind of a vodka drink.
A lot
drink.
Of it is people that are trying to get drunk and not obtain all the calories.
Yes,
drinking
and
these seltzers.
I've been hearing that Oscar Blues
mm-hmm.
is making a low-calorie hazy IPA.
Oh, boy.
It's supposed to be only like 100 calories per can.
It's just going to be an 8-ounce can.
It's like a shot glass.
Joke's on you, fuckers.
It's like, you know, it's like the ice cream. It's like the ice cream companies that are selling ice cream for the same price, but making the container smaller. So instead of getting a half gallon, you're only getting like a pint, but for the same price.
Seems like a big difference.
It is. I mean, it's not that obvious, but it's pretty close. It's a lot less than it used to be. So anyway, Sean, what are you drinking?
So my dear girlfriend was a very good pack mule and went to the beer store in Toledo, Ohio, and brought back a bunch of Urban Artifact. So I'm drinking two beers right now. Well, I'm going to finish two beers probably within the next 5 minutes. I actually had to stop drinking one so that way I could review it. So we have Trivet, which is a cranberry lemonade gose.
A goose.
Ooh, it's honestly, if I could have this, I would probably drink this all year round. Like, I could drink this in the summertime because of the lemonade. The cranberry gives it some tart, but the lemonade really helps, plays with the salt and the sourness. It's only a 4.5, ABV and a 3.4 pH, but it's super good. I think this is part of their holiday collection, but
I was going to say that sounds like the perfect Thanksgiving beer.
If you want to drink a lot of beer without getting super drunk, well, without getting drunk quickly, this is definitely the beer for you. I feel like it's a challenge when you're trying to drink 4% alcohol beer to try to get drunk. Like,
well, I mean, because that's like, it's supposed to be like a table beer where you're just supposed to be mostly drinking it for the flavor, and maybe if you get drunk, it's a side effect or a bonus or whatever, not like the goal. that's when you're the person that just goes to the brewery and it looks at the board and sees what has the highest ABV, and then orders it and then sends it back because it comes in too girly of a glass and you don't want to be embarrassed in front of your dude friends.
No, you can't be embarrassed about that shit. You just gotta own it. Like at work, when I, you know what I say when I get mad at people? Not when I get mad at people. It was like, I'll be like, damn it, I just want to go home and watch my weeb cartoons, man. You just gotta own it. They can't make like fun of you if you own it.
Right. Like my brother and wife were talking, and she was kind of talking about that kind of stuff, about being self-conscious about something, and my brother was like, just own it, accept it, and embrace it.
Yep. People can't make fun of you if you're confident about it.
Right, like if they're like, ha ha, you do this thing, and you're like, yes, I do. And they're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, he does. First they'd be like, no, I don't.
Exactly. The second beer is called Operation Plowshare. This is a blackberry Midwest fruit tart. And this one is very popular because it is supposed to be kind of a reflection on a jelly-filled donut. So if they took basically focused on the filling of a jelly-filled donut and kind of came up with this piece as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a nice little burp in there before I had to take
it. I can hear. Make some room. Make some room.
It's just got like, it just has that nice blackberry. It's almost like if you took a tarty jelly and that's the flavor you're getting. If you took blackberry jam and you were trying to eat it and it gave you like some tarty hint flavoring on your tongue, that's this beer. Just perfect. Just you can't be sad with this. This is the problem with Urban Art. Ooh, fuck! I didn't realize this one's 7.9.
Well, there you go. It balances out.
Maybe that's why I'm feeling a little bit better than I thought I would.
You're drinking more of the 7% than you are the 4%?
The 4% is now gone. But no, that's like the biggest, that's my only thing about leaving Ohio is like I left Urban. Like how am I supposed to get Urban Artifact now? I just have to cry.
You just have to, you know, do what friend of the show Dave Wagner does, who goes by either Dot Problems for his art sites or his Hop Problems for his beer stuff, but he has family that lives in, I want to say, Minnesota. Uh-huh. And they'll occasionally send him the fancy little porch bomb of Minnesota beers.
No, that's what we were talking about doing is, I mean, really, realistically, like, it's only, like, an hour flight back to Detroit, Toledo area. So, I mean, it's very easy to go pick up at some stuff and bring it back during, like, weekend trips. So.
Right, because, you know, you don't have family there, but the girlfriend does. And so either you can, when you're going to visit her family, buy stuff or just bribe her family to send you guys stuff or friends out there like Roy. Maybe. Or something.
True. I should tell Roy to constantly send me beer. You know what would be cheaper? I should just give him, like, just drive. I could probably just drive to through Pennsylvania and go to the Ohio border. I wonder if they distribute in Pennsylvania, because it is by state. So, I guess Pennsylvania touches Ohio, so maybe you could get it. Probably not, probably.
That sounded inappropriate the way you said it, too. Pennsylvania touches Ohio.
I bet Ohio wishes that didn't happen.
I bet a lot of states wish they didn't touch Ohio.
Ohio sits on Kentucky.
Well, it gets fisted by Michigan.
No, just the tip touches Ohio. Just the tip.
Just the tip of the mitt.
Yeah.
So I was reading this couple stories on Reddit. Apparently, like, the couple kids, like, there was one where it was a couple having sex filming themselves. Another one, a dude, like, took pictures of himself naked. And it got found out, but they were minors, but they were being tried as adults for, like, possession of child pornography for having pictures and videos of themselves. So in the eyes of the law, they're both an adult and a minor. Because it's like, you're an adult, you pervert, having pictures of kids. And it's like, but the pictures are of me. I know, but think of the children.
These are confusing times.
Oh, man. Very confusing, yes.
How am I an adult and a child at the same time? I'm so confused.
Oh, man. You know, you gotta love when, like, the justice system wants to make examples of people for the wrong reasons. Them and them pesky kids and sending dick pics of themselves to themselves.
Damn it, Scooby-Doo.
Exactly. So I forgot to write something on the list, Sean, that I wanted to talk about.
Daniel, tell me what you want to talk about.
So I ended up taking my niece for her birthday to this fancy candy store. And we were kind of looking around. They had some of the Japanese stuff there, like the typical, like, yum yams and the pokey sticks or whatever, pucky sticks.
Yep.
And the haichus and stuff like that. But then they also had an assortment of the Japanese Kit Kats.
Gotcha.
And I didn't realize it until, like, I'd already made up my mind what I wanted, that they were charging $16 a bag for the bags of Kit Kats. You know, and they just came with, like, the standard, like, Halloween issue size, where it was just the two little wafers, tiny. And there was probably, like, 20 of them in there for, like, $16.
That's a ripoff. You could just go buy 20 Kit Kats.
But they're not regular chocolate.
Oh boy. What kind of chocolate are they?
So they had one was white chocolate with green tea flavoring. So it was green tea and it was green.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty good. I'll give that one. It was pretty good. And then they had one with white chocolate and lemon flavor. And even, like, lemon wafer.
Okay.
That was pretty amazing. That was, like, my favorite. You know, I don't know if you've ever had, when you were a kid, those, like, generic Oreos, but they're lemon flavored, and it's like a dollar, and you get, like, a flat of them, practically, like a huge container.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they taste exactly like that, just super lemony, super delicious. But the one that, like, I'm bringing this one up last because I thought this would be the weirdest one. It was, like, their Halloween special edition. It was an apple pie one.
Oh, really?
And then you opened it up, and it was purple.
What? That's a little frightening.
Right. And so it was white chocolate, but it was colored purple.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can smell it. You can smell, like, the cinnamon. And you took a bite of it, and it tasted about as close to an apple pie as you would expect a piece of candy to taste like.
Gotcha.
Like, it was like Mind Freak, like Chris Angel made them. Mind Freak! But yeah, man, like, I don't, like, after eating them, I don't feel like I was ripped off at all. Like, I feel like I got my money's worth.
It was that good, huh?
Dude, amazing. I think I have, like, a couple of each left, savoring them. Because gotcha. I have to drive out to, like, it's like Irvine to get them. Or, I guess, find another fancy candy store. But, oh, man. It was just like I said, like, you open up that, like, apple pie Kit Kat. That can't be good. And you open it, and you're like, it's purple. Why is it purple? That's just weird and gross.
That makes it even more confusion.
Yes. It's like when you're, like, a teenager and your dog's sitting on your lap and you kind of get a boner from the warmth and you're just like, why? I don't want to get a boner. I'm, like, actively trying to fight it. Why am I getting a boner? It's like that. Like, I don't think I'm going to want to, like, I don't want to like this Kit Kat apple pie thing, but it's pretty amazing. Oh, man. So, Sean, breweries are selling out more and more again.
You know what? Sometimes life's goal is just to start a business and then sell it for a stupid amount of money and then go get blow and hookers somewhere.
Exactly. One of them isn't that shocking, and the other one actually is very surprising to me. So one of them, the Craft Brew Alliance,
mm-hmm.
which basically when it formed, it was five breweries. It was Red Hook, Widmere, Kona Brewing, Omission, and Square Mile Cider.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a couple other smaller ones. They were already like kind of partially owned by AB InBev.
Gotcha.
And so they just decided to put the final nail in the coffin.
Go balls in. Balls
go 100%. 100% in, not just the tip.
So Windmere up in Portland.
Portland.
Oh, my God.
Well, they've already, like I said, they were already like a conglomerate. Kind of like how like there's Canarchy that's like Cigar City, yeah. Oscar Blues.
I never really drink that beer anymore, but damn them now.
Right, like Windmere was one problem. Of those like... Right, well, Windmere was one of those that like first accessible like craft brewery beers. Like,
yeah.
I remember drinking their Hef like, you know, in like 97, 98, back when like craft beer wasn't really a thing, you know?
Yeah,
like Sam Adams was brand new.
Yeah, exactly. They were definitely one of the first microbrews to actually be distributed in all 50 states, which is pretty impressive.
Right, exactly. And then the one that's actually surprising that they sold was New Belgium.
Really?
Yes.
Oh boy, who bought them?
Kirin Beverages.
What the fuck is Kirin Beverages?
Japanese. They're like American weebs now.
Wow. So New Belgium sold out. Wow. That's pretty shocking. That well, had it's to like, go it, for a pretty penny.
Right. Some it said that like more than 300 employees will receive $100,000 in retirement money, and some receiving significantly greater amounts. But it's funny because it's. Little World Beverages is a global craft arm of Lion, an Australian beverage and food company that is a subsidiary of Japanese beverage giant Kirin. So Kirin is like, especially if you go to like sushi restaurants, they have Kirin is one of the, like Sapporo Kirin, and there's like usually like two or three other beers that they have there.
I wonder how this is going to shape the company. It's very, that's some pretty intense changes.
Yeah, because they were like, 100% employee owned, which I guess, you know, it's not like the devil selling out, tricking their employees, because if it's employee owned, then they got to vote on that.
Oh, wow. They probably were like, this is how much money you're going to get per share.
Yes.
I'm okay with selling. I'll go get a new job somewhere else.
Right. That's why I said like 300 of them are like basically retiring. So they can take that $100,000 and go open their own brewery, I guess, if they wanted to.
Damn. Man, it's crazy to think one of the biggest microbreweries, you know, top five. New Belgium is top five
microbreweries, yeah.
Well, is now no longer independent.
And they're no longer, I guess, under the definition of the rules unless they change it again for, like, the Sam Adams loophole of they're no longer considered craft beer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is... You know, that, oh man, dude, that's so disappointing. Oh, well, I didn't really care for the beer that much anyway, so.
But, you know, it's funny, though, because, like, most people that drink their beer don't even know they're drinking their beer because they think that Fat Tire is its own beer, not a,
True.
They think it's its own brand, like, because Budweiser is Budweiser, so they think Fat Tire is Fat Tire, not, like, Fat Tire is a beer made by New Belgium. Especially, like, with the labeling, like, it's the huge bike and Fat Tire and. New Belgium's like in tiny writing.
Yeah.
So, but it's, like you said, it's kind of interesting. Like, but again, it's not like some of the other sales where they had secret meetings and nobody knew it was coming. None of the employees knew it was coming because they all had to vote on it.
Yeah.
So, they're rich now, bitch.
I'm rich, bitch. I'm Rick James.
Exactly. So, you know, we're coming up on... the holidays, Sean. This is our last episode before Christmas, New Year's. You know, and when you kind of, for a while, when you were doing more brewing, you were talking about how you enjoyed kind of going to the homebrew store and, like, answering questions of people if there was nobody to help, like, if there's other customers and maybe no one was there to help, or even it got to the point where some of the employees would even kind of ask you questions just because you're, that was one of the few things that you actually were willing to research was homebrewing.
Recipes, how to brew certain things. Yes.
Right, but through your trial and error and buying new toys and, you know, figuring out, like, you know, well, I started with this, but now I own this. Like, should I, should you just start with something more expensive? Should you do like kits and extracts? That kind of stuff.
I think if you look into the kits, there's two standardized kits. There's the gallon kit and there's the 5-gallon kit. So both of them come with different toys, but really neither of them really come with everything that you need to successfully brew a beer. So, well, technically you could brew the beer, but you're not going to be able to really kind of get it carbonated. So if we look at the first, we'll look at the first, the 1-gallon. So Craft a Brew, this kit is everywhere. I mean, even Home Depot fucking sold this beer kit. Let's be honest. This is kind of everywhere. It's like $45 normally. If you go to some websites right now, like I'm doing, you could get it for $36 for Black Friday. So you get some good tools. So you get a carboy, you get a funnel, rack and cane, and a couple different items, a thermometer. So you have basically enough to start the brew. Now, the first question is, if you get the 1-gallon kit, do you have a pot that could even boil 1 gallon of hot water? So if you don't have that, then that's already an additional expense that you have to buy. The other thing that doesn't come with the 1-gallon kits is there's no way to bottle and carbonate your beer. So if you're going to go the cheap route and you're going to bottle, you got to buy, on top of the one-gallon brew kit, you got to buy the bottles, you got to buy the bottle caps, and you got to buy the thing to put the bottle cap on the bottle, and you got to buy sanitizer so you could sanitize the bottles and the bottle caps. So it's a very tricky system that they do. So if you do get screwed over and somebody just gets you a beer kit, or if you just want to be a really cool guy and or gal and set up somebody correctly, you know, make sure that you are buying the additional items for them to complete the brewing process. So the 1-gallon kits typically don't have the bottles, the bottle tops, and whatnot. So if you do that, then you're good. 'Cause honestly, the beer kit usually says, like, hey, you're going to brew this, and it's going to have this ABV and stuff, so you don't have to really worry about doing all the science testing out of the gate if you just want to start with a brew kit.
Right, it's basically just like almost like color by numbers to an extent. Like if you want to be an artist, and like when you're a kid and you get that one, the first thing where it's like number ones is blues and two is red, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, pretty much. So it has a lot of the step-by-steps for you to do. Typically, when you're buying a kit, you are going to be using extract malt, which isn't bad. It's just, it's not as consistent in its results. So if you brewed a beer 100 times, it's not going to be as consistent as if you steeped the grain and did the actual fresh brew process.
Okay.
So that makes sense. That'll be the biggest thing. So say you actually like the person that you're trying to give a gift to, and you decide to do the one of the bigger kits. So if we go to northernbrewer.com, I'm looking at the cheap 5-gallon kit. It's about $110, normally $170. You get some pretty cool shit in here. I ain't gonna lie. You get a fancy pot and spoon. You get a fermenter bucket and a bottling bucket, which is pretty useful. You get a bottling spout with some tubing, which is pretty cool. You get some bottle caps and a bottle topper, which are some of the items that are missing from the first one. But you don't get the racking cane, so you really are kind of screwed, because you can't really get the beer to the next area. So one of the problems with if you brew in a 5-gallon bucket and you're not pulling the beer off the top of the yeast cake that's on the bottom, especially when you're talking about IPAs and you start dry hopping, if the recipe tells you to that, you're going to get a lot of like stuff in your beer while you're trying to bottle, which isn't that great. And even though these northern brewers, they do have the spout for you to get the beer off, it's not going to be as clean as you would like. You're also missing the bottles as well.
Right, real quick, for the people that, you know, because this is supposed to be super, like, beginner-friendly, someone who, like, I'll give you an example. I walked into an Art of Shaving store, and I was kind of looking, trying to get some ideas and stuff, and there was a woman there, like, looking at stuff, and there was only one salesman there, and he was helping somebody else, and she was, like, trying to buy something, but for her brother-in-law. And she had no idea what she was doing there. And so she was like, I mean, I'm like, she was asking me questions. I'm like, look, I'm no beard expert, but like, I apparently knew a lot more than she did. So like, what is dry hopping exactly for people that like, are maybe just looking for gifts for someone who does brew, but they don't?
Got you. So dry hopping is when we add hops to the beer during the fermentation process. So instead of putting it into the boil to pull acids out, we put it into the actual cold fermentation process where it's going to pull a lot more of the aroma from the hop. And it's instead of pulling the acids out, it's going to give it more aromatic smells and a lot of other things that we're looking for. So if a recipe is asking you for you to dry hop, it's really during the fermentation process, put in some pellets of the hops, so that way it'll help make it smell more like an IPA.
Right, that's where like the strong IPA smell comes from generally. Correct. Like versus the flavor of the piney flavor. It's more of the piney smell.
Yeah, usually there's a lot more. So IPAs actually have a lot more hops during the boil process to give it more acids, and that's what you're tasting versus what you're smelling.
Nice. So basically, like, either way, they still need to get their own bottles, whether they, have been saving bottles from buying bombers of beers over the years, or you know, they find a local Facebook group of home brewers or go to a local bottle shop and buy them from there.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is you're going to have to buy bottles. And depending on what kit you get, you have to figure out if you're going to need the caps, the topper, and whatnot. Now, whenever you – and this is the same thing with – when you buy a 5-gallon kit, you get a thing of beer. It's probably going to have some extract in it, and it's going to tell you exactly what the ABV – what all the different items that you're looking for in there. So the problem is if you go back to and you want to use more, you have to either just go off a recipe and just assume what you're doing is correct to get the correct ABV, or you have to actually buy the test tube and the measurement tube or measurement item for measuring ABV. So there's definitely a lot of like different tools and stuff that you could get. I'll say bottling is probably far more cheaper than trying to do a whole keezer and keg system. I mean, it's a lot cheaper, but I think there's a lot of when you're trying to force carb in the bottles, it takes two additional weeks for the beer versus if you do forced carbonation, you could actually get it done within hours of the brew. So if I force carb something usually in the morning, I could actually drink the beer and it'll be carbonated by early evening. Where if you do the bottle conditioning process, you're going to have to wait for an additional 2 weeks.
And what would you need for to force carb something?
Usually, I'm trying to see if it's in the kit, but typically the kits have
it's like an enzyme or something that comes with?
No, it's sugar. So basically, okay, there's suspended yeast in the beer. still, and when you add the sugar tablets and you close it, and you close it around the beer, or you put the beer in the bottle with the tablet and you lock it, basically it generates more alcohol because the suspended yeast become active, eat the new sugar. It's not enough to blow the bottle, so the CO2 is trapped in the bottle and then forces its way back into the beer, and that's how you get the carbonation of when you're conditioning in bottles.
And then, so, you know, you mentioned bottles and caps. What are some tools or whatever or ways that they would need to do for putting the bottles actually onto the caps onto the bottles?
So it depends on what tool you buy. So there are, it's just like with anything, there's multiple tools. There's a nice hand crank one for about $50 to $70 that you just like, you put the cap on and you just pull down and it does it. Typically a lot of like the 5 gallon kit, it's a, item that has two handles. You put the cap on and you put it over the beer and then you just kind of pull it apart. And it forces itself onto the bottle. So typically, that's usually the tool that you'll see a lot of people use. And then even with bottles, you could get bomber bottles. You could get other. You get the typical 12 ounce, and then you could also even get reusable cap ones where the cap is kind of on there, and you could put it on there. No, I don't know if people typically. Do bottle conditioning with those ones, but mostly they use like the metal caps because I think it's just more sturdy.
Right. So you have one of the, you said like the basically cap appliers.
Yeah, I have the traditional one still that I use. So I haven't upgraded to a more fancier bottle topper because the little red one that you could use with two hands is still very easy. Plus, it came with my 5 gallon kit back in the day.
Right. So I know you've upgraded a lot of your stuff. Like you said, you've gone from bottle conditioning some stuff to a Keyser, and you've even bought like a new electric cooker to, you know, heat up everything so you don't have to like use the gas one and cook on your patio anymore. But if you could do if you could upgrade and get a fancy bottle capper, what would you want?
Honestly, I don't even want a bottle capper. I want the bottle gun.
Okay. So what is that like?
So basically there is a, bottle gun that you could use for filling up bottles. That's more efficient. Basically, you attach your keg to the gun, you put the gun into the bottle, and then you could blast CO2 into it to get rid of the air, fill up the bottle, top it off with CO2, and then you could grab your clamp and actually seal the bottle much more efficiently versus trying to fill bottles out of a beer tap handle. It just gets really dicey trying to do it with the keg system or with the taps. So it'd be okay. With the bottling gun, it would make it a lot easier to actually do bottling with kegs.
I'm sure you've done research on like a little bit knowing you. Again, the only thing you research is homebrew stuff, so I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt there.
What was that?
I said you've done some research on the subject.
Yeah, I've actually been looking at the bottling gun and looking at the beer filter as my next two purchases, and that's even above a new bottle capper. Just because, okay. Like, it's just not that much of a hassle to use. It's just, from, like, a quality of beer standpoint, I think, like, you know, always trying to filter out beer to get a more crisp, clean is always nice. And then the bottler just makes things a whole lot easier and less messy.
Okay. Well, actually what I'm trying to get at is there, because, you know, if we're recommending something that seems kind of fancy, like, I don't want to, you know, cause I did some like just Google and it looks like there's like, you know, people like homemade ones up to like super fancy ones. So is there like a brand that you would recommend?
I've always had my eye on that $100 one. I forget the name of it. I haven't looked it up in a while.
It's the Blickman.
That sounds about right. The Blickman bottle gun.
The Blickman Beer Gun V2 from More Beer?
Yeah. That one is probably the one that I would probably get. I've just seen a lot of good reviews about it. I know there's some out there, some wild MacGyvers that have done their own things. And there are people that fill out of the keyser that don't have issues. But it's always been like a messy process. And then my handles get all dirty and shit. It's just annoying. Maybe because right. I shouldn't bottle, I should just probably look at buying... I should look at buying the small growlers instead.
Right, or like because people are selling like the stainless steel growlers too, like the 32-ounce growlers mm-hmm. that are like metal.
Oh yeah, if you go to a homebrew store, you could buy like all sorts of different growlers. So and there's no logos or anything on them; they're just glass growlers. So
right, and then what's a good you know, I was talking to Adam at Players. And he was talking about how, like, we're talking about, like, the whole thing about people feeling uncomfortable going into game and comic book stores, especially women. Like, women are like, well, it's a man's world. They don't want me there. And he's like, I've been owner of a comic book store, and I've gone to places where I'm like, okay, apparently, obviously, they don't want me here. I'm interfering with their, like, game playing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, what's a good, like, what's a way to kind of test to see if a homebrew shop is a good shop?
So the one I went to in Toledo was also a garden store, but it was really like just the support that the people there give you. I mean, I think it's just like, can you get quality service? It's just like anything. If you go in and they're taking the time to talk to you about the different aspects of the process and how to improve, like I think like the one I went to in Toledo, they never tried to sell you on everything at once. They said, hey, here's all the – if this is where you start, and then these are the kind of things you need right now. And then down the road, you could start – if you really like it, you upgrade to these things. And they kind of built, like, a path for you. And I think that's really what you want to look for is how much – if you go to a homebrew store, do they have all the different accessories that you're going to want? Do they have a lot of options for yeast, grain, hops? Are they going to have different things so you could try things? You know, you're never going to master beer making until you brew a lot of beer. It's just like anything. Your hops taste different. Grains taste different. There's a lot of different nuances into brewing. And a lot of – if you just – it's like the butterfly effect. If you change one little thing, you could drastically change how a beer is. I think – you know, think about the difference between a porter and a stout. It really just comes down to the base grain. Two row versus the European two row. That's it. That's all the difference is. Two different styles of beer. The only difference is one grain.
Interesting. You know, and like, you know, that reminds me real quick. So Bottle Logic posted a beer they're brewing. But the grain they used, they just threw loaves of sourdough bread in the boil. Literally, like, full loaves of sourdough bread.
That's interesting.
And then there was another one. Oh, I sent you – you didn't reply, but I sent you from – like, I found a thing on the interwebs that somebody else found, and it was, like, asking if anybody's ever used dog food
that's funny.
As the grain.
That's weird.
And they're like, it makes good beer.
Well, unless you buy grain-free dog food.
Right. And you're like, well, that's why you just go buy, like, the cheap shit, like Pedigree, like a 40-pound bag of Pedigree for, like, 20 bucks. It's all grain.
Right.
With meat-like substances, flavoring. Meat flavoring-like substances in it. Oh, that. I mean, that's pretty cool, man. Like, I appreciate you doing this. Like, you know, that seems... like people that are looking for gifts for somebody might be helpful. Maybe it'll get some listens, some clicks, some cheap Christmas hot heat.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's a very interesting process. There's a lot of discipline and, you know, there's a lot of patience. Like I think, you know, I was talking to my brother after he brewed a beer and he was like, yeah, this tastes like shit. And I fucked it up. I'm like, I'm like, you don't even understand the pain that I've been through, bro. Like, you just used a kit, and it was just okay beer because you used a kit, man. Dude, I was in there boiling, doing all the things, and my piece of equipment just didn't get cleaned probably right, and it just gave off the nastiest, sour... It looked like I dumped 3 gallons of milk in the IPA. That's what it looked like.
Well, and even then it's like you don't know the pain of, like, former guest Jamie Conway from I can't think of the name of the brewery. It's in Arkansas. But, like, then he talked about throwing out, like, a few, you know, 1,000 gallons of beer because it went bad.
Yeah, it's a very fun process. And it just makes you think, like, wow, this is not as easy as I think it is. This isn't just a whole, like, you know, like, when we, it's like, it's no joke, dude. You, like... Like 80% of the work in home brewing, and probably, and Jamie will tell you as well, it's cleaning and sterilizing and cleaning and sterilizing. That's 80% of brewing. If you don't don't do it.
Breweries too, not just home breweries, but like business breweries. Like there's cleaning involved.
Mm-hmm. You gotta clean out the fermenter. You gotta scrub it. Then after you get it all nice and scrubbed and clean, then you gotta sanitize it. Dude, it's a pain in the ass, man.
Like, which is why, like, the Yard House, well, it's, like, a cool concept, is probably one of the last places you really want to drink a beer. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they have all their kegs and shit in the back, and they have all those lines from the back to the front running along the ceiling. And it's like, how long has that beer been sitting in the ceiling?
True. And how like often do they clean the lines and the taps?
Right, because that's a lot of fucking cleaning.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is with tap cleaning, you know, you just grab – if you have a keg of sanitizer, you just hook that shit up and then you just, like, turn it on and you just let it just pump sanitizer until it's done. And, I mean, that I would tell you that is the only nice thing is the line cleaning isn't as bad as you would think just because you can – run like hot water and you could run sanitizer through it to really help knock out the flavors of that get trapped in the tube.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, I was listening to somebody talking about that whole like Yard House thing, and it's like, you know, if you get a beer that's popular, it's not that bad because the beer is constantly moving. But if you order like some random like European Belgian beer or something like that that sells every once in a while, like that shit's been just getting up to like room temperature sitting in that fucking ceiling tube for however long since the last person ordered a glass. It's like right. when you were kids and we still drank out of the hose, it's like you let it run for a few minutes to get like that hose water out of there. I mean, it's still going to kind of taste like hose, but it's not going to taste like just fermented rubber.
Pretty much.
Oh man. So, Sean, I know we're like, this will be released after November. So I just want to know how successful were you with the all of the no blank November challenges.
Is there more than just beer challenges? Because honestly, I every time somebody brings it up, I was just like, yeah, it's amateur beard month. It's not No Shave November.
Yeah, there's no shave November. There's no nut November.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Which both Pornhub and Planters Peanuts. Planters Nut Company had some fun with on Twitter because it was like literally like the first day of No Nut November. Pornhub was like, this many of you already failed. Like they're giving updates.
No, there was some jabs going on.
And then Planters, they tweeted, it's okay to enjoy a nut during November with a picture of their peanuts. And then some people like were doing Sober November. Really? Where they didn't drink during the month of November. But apparently there's also Sober October that people were doing. And then there was, I guess, in January or February, you can do it where it's Dryuary, where you don't drink. And it's like, that seems unnecessary.
Yeah, that seems like a ridiculous amount of waiting.
I mean, I understand the whole point of No Shave November is raising awareness. And, you know, a lot of people are, like, taking donations for prostate cancer charities and stuff, so I guess that's the good that comes of it.
I just drink beer, and then you could go drink beer and donate to prostate cancer. You don't have to do all this other crazy shit. Just or be, you can a man, just, be a man, grow a beard, drink some beer. Boom.
Or you can know somebody else is doing it and give them money so you don't have to deal with the shit.
Right.
Not everybody. It's like a charity 5K. Not everybody needs to run, because then nobody would be donating. If you just need one runner for every so many donators.
You make a fair point.
So you actually like proved you're semi-literate, Sean. You looked at some book and pictures.
I don't know if I would call it that, but I did read a book. So the Destiny servers were down on Friday night, and I was bored, so I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. So I saw on the Monster Musume subreddit this picture about another manga called Monster Wrestling, Interspecies Combat Girls.
Wrestling or rustling?
Wrestling.
Okay.
Monster Wrestling Interspecies Combat Girls. I don't know why it's called ICG, but I guess it is. So I feel like this is a book about fan service with a splash of story. Like, I don't really know really what the main point of this is, other than I guess there was a girl that was lost, that didn't know like what was going on, and then she was rescued by some squid girl, and they wrestle, and I guess supposedly like the this little puppy girl who is supposed to be like the descendant of the three-headed horse, or not three-headed horse, the three-headed dog down in hell. Basically has like superpower, like really powerful powers that don't seem very known to people. So she's like getting trained, and of course like the squid lady is supposed to be like this super elegant like person that everybody really loves and respects and is super good. And then like there's only one book out right now, and basically at the very end like the werewolf girl actually beats the squid girl in a wrestling match, and it's very surprising to everybody. So
not anymore.
Like, yeah, not anymore. But yeah, it's just very ridiculous.
So basically what you're saying is the point of it is to help people fail No Nut November?
Yeah, if you just want to look at Monster Girls, like, read this book. Because, I mean, I don't, like, yeah, I'm just, like, flipping through it. I'm like, yeah, I don't really know what the whole point of this thing is besides fan service with a awkward splash of story to it.
So did you buy the physical copy or did you?
Digital.
Comixology?
Yep, it's where I started buying it, so that way I could finish my, I could stop buying so many books. I'm running out of room for stuff.
Right, and especially in California, we're discouraged from burning things. Speaking of digital things, I learned of a podcast through another podcast called Magus Elgar.
Mm-hmm.
It's Magus Elgar. Mm-hmm. It's 11 episodes long. They're about anywhere from 20 to 45 minutes long. And it's basically almost like Harmon Quest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like old-timey radio style. So there's less like of the behind-the-scenes talk.
Gotcha.
Like in how there's in Harmon Quest where like Dan Harmon is speaking as Dan Harmon to the DM, asking questions and shit. Like they're kind of like not just playing the game, but asking questions like, wait, can I do this? Like,
yeah.
It's basically like there's a script. It's like professional production done. It's pretty good. It's like it's almost kind of like that Ancient Magus Bride in a way where it's just like crazy magic.
Yeah.
Anime, but in podcast form. Like it's like basically watching if anime was around back when the radio era was there.
Okay.
Like you'd listen to like the Shadow and Little Orphan Annie. And, you know, anime.
Nice.
But yeah, it's pretty good. Like I said, it's only like 11 episodes long. There's only a couple episodes that are like over 40 minutes, but most of them are like right around 30 minutes.
Gotcha.
So it's a quick listen. You know, like a short, like watching a show. So if you're like, you know, something you could listen to at work or while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
But, I highly recommend it. I enjoyed it. The voice acting is pretty good. The, characters are well written. The story is different. It's a story. I mean, there's beats that are similar. Every story kind of has, you know, similar, I guess, ingredients, but just a lot of the stuff that happens I've never, like, heard a story told that way before.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes sense to me. Sounds pretty good. Sounds like something different.
Yeah, Magus Elgar, MagusElgar.
Okay.
For you people that are interested. So, you know, you mentioned earlier fan service. Emilia Clarke kind of came out, and she was doing an interview, and she came out and said that she was kind of pressured by the producers of Game of Thrones to appear naked on screen. Because they said if she didn't, then her fans would be disappointed.
Wait, which one's Emilia Clarke?
The Dragon Lady.
Oh, she was naked for a lot of season 1 and 2. You could definitely tell when they said like she put her foot down. She put her foot down.
Right, and that happens a lot. Like, there's that show. I think it's Shameless, and like the first couple seasons, the actress was like lesser known, and it has like William H. Macy as the lead, and he was making more money, and she was like, she's, you know, hot, and everyone wanted to see her naked, so she was like topless a lot and stuff, and then she's like, wait, I don't need to do this anymore. Like, people are watching the show already. They're going to watch it or not. Like, and if they want to see my tits, then they can watch the previous episode. Like, I've already shown them enough.
Yeah.
I mean, and for her, like, Emilia Clarke, I mean, well, it is true that, like, I guess if she never appeared topless or naked in the show, like, the fans would be disappointed.
Enough naked people in the show to not be disappointed.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't have seen... It's like that Ron White joke, you know, once you've seen one girl naked, you want to see them all. You know, and I'm sure on Game of Thrones, especially like a show like Game of Thrones and Heroes, the old show Heroes is the same way, where everybody's got their favorite.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Game of Thrones, everyone's got their waifu. And if, you know, your waifu was Emilia Clarke's character and she was the only one that didn't get naked, you'd probably be disappointed, right?
I guess so.
But not enough for them to, like, I guess, pressure her and make her not want to do it if she didn't want to.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like too late after how many seasons? How can you switch?
Right, but when she last week, she wasn't like she was kind of talking about how she was young and she was like more pressure than like you said, like she kind of put her foot down. It's like, wait, I don't need to do this anymore. Like, it's already out there. Like, if people want to see me naked, they can just like look up, watch an old episode, buy the DVDs.
Yeah,
you know, oh man, so you know, Disney Plus is a thing, Sean.
Yes, it is.
So Netflix didn't want to get left behind.
No, Netflix has to fight back.
So their answer is they signed an exclusive deal with Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
So you're going to get all the old school Nickelodeon shows and cartoons and stuff and some new original content from Nickelodeon.
I believe you're getting Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yes. Yes. Which, you know, falls under the old stuff, I guess, you know.
True.
But yeah.
I guess it is old now.
Like Lizzie McGuire. Or was she Disney? I can't remember. Doug. Ren and Stimpy. Eh. Rugrats. All of them are going to be on Netflix.
Nice.
Well, they've already, I mean, and I think maybe this was like a testing the waters, but they did release a Invader Zim movie like a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
That I haven't had a chance to watch yet.
I didn't even realize they released an Invader Zim movie.
Yeah, I don't know if it's supposed to continue from the series, and maybe I don't know if it wraps it up or it just continues, but yes, there's a Invader Zim movie on the Netflix.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see if that actually like helps keep people with Netflix, or if people were going to stay with Netflix anyways.
I mean, Netflix has some good original content, so
they don't have The Office anymore. According to some people, that's the reason to leave.
Okay. I mean, if you want to watch an unfunny show, but...
You know, right? I don't...
Oh, man.
Yes. Oh, man. So, but yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see. I don't... You know what? Real quick. That's what I was going to say. I don't know why, but people, like, love The Office way too much, and people tell me it's like, oh, you just have to get past like the first or second season, then it hits its stride, and it's like, at that point, like, I'm already like moved on to something else, man.
I might as well start trying to fucking catch up on Fairy Tail at this point. I'm 5 seasons in, and I don't want to watch any more Fairy Tail.
Right, or the same thing with Parks and Rec. They're like, well, if you want to watch Parks and Rec, watch these seasons, but skip this season, and then you don't really need to watch this season. And it's like, all right, dude, if I need to do math to watch a TV show, then I'm out.
I'm out. Fuck that shit.
Right. Speaking of, so Kathleen Kennedy came out, and I guess she's being replaced as the showrunner, basically, for Star Wars. She was the one that was the Kevin Feige for the Star Wars world.
Gotcha.
There's rumors that she's out and they're going to replace her with Jon Favreau based on the hit of The Mandalorian success.
Oh, is he the one that directed it?
Pretty much, yeah. And, like, not all the episodes. It's like he directed most of them, and then they're going to bring in guest directors. Like Taika Waititi is one they're going to bring in.
Okay.
But basically he's like the producer of the show and like the one that's kind of behind the scenes on that. So they're going to put him in charge of all the Star Wars stuff.
Oh, wow.
In the future.
Are they going to allow him to put in characters that he wants?
I don't know. Hopefully. that was the issue with Iron Man.
Yes, it was.
I still feel ripped off the way to get the Fing Fang Foom Mandarin movie.
I don't know, man.
Maybe Fing Fang Foom will show up in the new movie that's coming out. Because the Mandarin is supposed to be in it, where they actually hired the Asian actor to play a martial art Asian person.
Gotcha.
They announced it at D23 and stuff, but it's like one of the next, it's in the next wave coming out like right around the same time as The Immortals. But anyways, so she was doing an interview and she was talking about how doing Star Wars is a lot harder than doing the Marvel movies because there's no source material to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
And that set like the fucking internet ablaze with like just gnashing of teeth and ripping of clothes to go old school biblical. Like people were posting pictures of all like the different novels and stuff that were written, and they're like, what are you talking about, no source material? And then it's like that's why Disney got rid of all the extended universe, because they don't want people like you to like ruin things by like trying to say that that's not how the book went. But at the same time though, they've already shown that their propensity to like draw nuggets, even if it's just characters, from the extended universe for the current stuff to make it canon again.
Yeah, I guess like, is The Mandalorian really even that good, and is it something that they could go off of? You know, do they look at going back to Knights of the Old Republic and stuff and getting away from the current day items?
Right. The only person I've really heard complain about The Mandalorian is Anita Sarkeesian.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody posted a thing on Facebook. They're like, the left are so stupid. And I was like, dude, she does not represent the left. She only represents herself. Like, she doesn't care about making the world a better place. She only cares about making her pocketbook a better place.
Exactly.
But she was upset because there's no female characters. There's like a lack of female characters in the show. And she was like talking about it. It's like Star Wars has made all these bounds with people of color and women in this. So why is this show not living up to those standards? And it's like, because
either they haven't... The Mandalorian was a clone?
Yes, the Mandalorian was a clone of a dude. Yes. Yeah,
bro.
He wasn't a clone because the Mandalorian was a race.
They were a race. And then, but that's
one of them. One of them volunteered to be a clone, to make clones. Yes.
And then we got MC Chris singing about a clone that was like a son, but it was really a clone. But he got treated like a son, but he's a clone! Motherfucker!
Yes. And he also drove a vet. he bounty hunts for Jabba the Hutt to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, just, and then I guess like, because one of the, there's like a, in like his ship or car or whatever has a voice, just like everything else does. And it's a female voice. And she's like, oh, that's supposed to appease me. And it's like, nobody really cares about you anymore. Like, other than like,
are you just trying to be relevant?
Well, I was going to say, the only people that care about you are BuzzFeed and other places that want to get, like, clickbait and, like, Facebook angry shares, which is working because they got a Facebook angry share out of it.
Mm. I actually forgot she existed for a little bit.
Yeah, when I read that article, I was like, when it was, like, the leftist angry, and I was like, Anita Sarkeesian, and I'm like, oh, that's right, she didn't die.
She didn't fall off the earth.
Exactly. So... this is the last time we'll sign it off for the year, Sean.
Yep, plenty of great adventures. Destiny 2 has a new season starting in a couple weeks. I'm watching Dr. Stone trying to figure out what the hell is the rave about this anime. Trying to get back into brewing, so hopefully I'll get back into that. So plenty of new topics to talk about after the holiday season.
And next year is supposed to be the best year ever, Sean.
Why?
Christmas and New Year's are both on Fridays.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Halloween and 4th of July are on Saturdays.
Wow.
And Cinco de Mayo is a Taco Tuesday.
2020, the year of greatness. And and hopefully the PS5 won't suck.
And it's also going to be the year of hindsight.
Hindsight.
How long is it going to be before that joke gets old, Sean? I'll tell you right now, immediately.
Before 2020 even starts.
Because hindsight is 2020, Sean.
Oh!
I'm just looking forward to, like, right before Christmas, because I'm planning not to go back to work until after New Year's,
mm-hmm.
right before Christmas. So I'm going to have the 2 days after Christmas off, and then I'm going to call out sick New Year's Eve, and then not go into work New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. So that as I'm leaving, like, on December 23rd, I'm looking forward to telling everybody, hey, see you next year! Because I'm that asshole.
You're going to be that guy.
I'm that guy, yes.
You're a fucking asshole.
I know I am. I just admitted it. That's the kind
You're
of guy
a monster.
I am. Horrible, horrible monster.
All right, everybody. Make sure that you guys are following us on Instagram and Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those fabulous places. Maybe we'll be posting some fun stuff of what we have been up to. Make sure you follow us on Untappd. I'm sure there'll still be some beer drinking going on, so we'll have definitely some updates for you as well.
Yes, yes, we will. I'll definitely try to be posting stuff, like, you know, since we're not around, maybe I can recommend some music or podcasts or movies or whatever for you guys to check out. Just to, you know, all in support of helping out people.
Whatever Danny's doing to stay sane during this holiday season.
Pretty much, yes.
I'm going to write a letter and act like I'm a UPS associate and ask for them to play Christmas music in the building.
Luckily where I work, they don't play music. They don't have the capacity to do that, other than the random assholes that drive around with, like, the construction site radios on the back of their
right.
equipment.
Pretty much.
All right, everybody. See you next year!